Well, I trust that you, like so many Americans this week, celebrated Thanksgiving, gathered together with family and friends, and had a great feast in front of you. You know, we've been in the series Dream Bigger, and some of you were doing that on Thursday. Hey, dream bigger. I can fill my plate with more food than my body could contain, which is good. Our family has our traditions where some are cooking diligently in the kitchen and the rest of us are watching the parade, maybe flipping between two channels to make sure we didn't miss anything. And then and a portion of my family has convinced me that it's worthy of after parade watching the dog show. Anybody else watch the dog show here, or is that just me? So we got a few. There are some weird-looking dogs that get on a dog show, I'll just admit. One that comes out looking like a mop, you know, others with long hair, and other ones that are cute and pretty cool. And I'm always just a beagle fan or a hound dog fan. Those are pretty cool. But anyway, watch that, and then we, you know, eat our meal, and we go around the circle. One of the my favorite times, I don't know if all my family enjoys it, but you got to go around the circle and share what you're faithful for. But I remove some things that that are just given, your faith, your family, your friends, and your food in front of you. We'll just assume those, but the rest of you come up with some other things you're thankful for, and they'll share those, which is good. We've been in the series of Dream Bigger, but I wanted to pause for a moment in Dreaming Bigger out of Ephesians and go back to Thanksgiving for a moment. I think there's some things we ought to dream bigger about in Thanksgiving. Because as the world, well, maybe not the world, but at least the United States paused on Thursday to offer thanks. Some more directly towards God, and others just thankful that they have life and thanking their family. But we had that moment of Thanksgiving where everybody pauses and appreciates one another and God. But it's so easily and quickly removed when Friday morning happens. It's not just because it's another day, but I ventured into getting up one year, many years ago, thinking it must be exciting because everybody talks about Black Friday and getting there when they open the doors of a store. How many of you have done that in the past? Go ahead and confess. How many of you did that a couple days ago? I only went once, and it was enough for me. Because I realized all the thankful people stayed home and all the vultures of life come out. You know, the precious, you know, Christmas season we're going into didn't happen during the time I was there. There was pushing and shoving and shouting and screaming and cussing and all kinds of things. And I'm thinking, it's only a $10 crock pot. It's not that big of a deal. You know, or a TV or whatever it is that people get excited about. And that's what takes place on Friday. And then, see, the world just moves on. Oh, we're thankful. Okay, we've done that. Now let's move on to getting things. I think it's worthy of the church to stop and remind ourselves that Thanksgiving is not a one-day event for us. It is a lifestyle. Because we have much to be thankful for. And so one theme verse that I'll put up on the screen is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, when it tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Would you read that with me, actually? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, let's read together. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know God's will? Here it is. One of many things God wills for you and desires from you, but he says, here's my will. Give thanks. In all circumstances. What about in difficulties? Yes. In celebrations? Yes. In seasons of drought? Yes. That's God's will. There are a few reasons why I'm convinced this verse is required to be in our remembrance often. Is because we slip away from Thanksgiving far more than we should. Yes, we have our time of Thanksgiving, but what about for a Christian? Are we being reminded of all that we have to be thankful for? Moving beyond just food and friends and family and our faith. Things that every day, even this morning, you've been granted some blessings that perhaps you take for granted. So I want to give you three things from the scriptures, I think, is the reason why we need to be grateful. Motivating factors and benefits of Thanksgiving. Here's the first one. If you want to take some notes, write this down. The first one is this: gratitude eliminates arrogance. Gratitude eliminates arrogance. You think, well, I'm not arrogant. Well, are you thankful? Are you thankful for all things? Every one of us is born a sinner. Every one of us is born separated from God. Every one of us seeks our own ways, our own selfishness, our own pride, our conceit. Our desires are all focused on ourselves, our favorite person. Romans chapter 1 kind of describes this in a minor way here. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, for although they knew God, which, pause, by the way, every person on the planet, when you are born, has an innate sense that there is a creator. Now, we may take that truth and suppress it in our own unrighteousness, God says, but the reality is there is a God and everybody knows it. But what do we do with the knowledge that we have a creator? For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Interesting that Paul puts that front and center. When you're born and you're so selfish, what you're doing is removing the gift God gives you of thanksgiving. Give thanks to him. But they become futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans chapter 1 is a great chapter to realize who you are without Christ. So there's an arrogance about us, and we have to, rather than suppress truth and unrighteousness, we ought to suppress our arrogance and grow in a gratitude of heart for all that God has done. Let's consider a few areas. You know, with arrogance, this pride that pushes others out and lifts up oneself to a level of self-reliance where there is no need for gratitude of others. I mean, if people were bold enough at award shows to really say what they think, some of them might get up, and rather than saying, well, I thank God, and I thank my producer, and I thank, you know, my coach or whatever, and the contractual obligations they have to say, you know, who kind of sponsored them to be there, if they could just have the time where they could thank who some of them I'm convinced are absolutely thankful for, they would get up and say, I am so thankful for myself. Because I've worked so hard, and I'm so good, and I'm thankful I'm not like all you losers out there who didn't win. I'm thankful that I am somebody, and you ought to be like me, because I am it. I am self-sufficient, self-driven, and I am all that you desire to be. I am so thankful. It would be inward. Perhaps we're like that at times, too. You ever done something, and you wanted everybody else to notice, and nobody said a word? You're like, oh, how dare they? They didn't notice that I'm here, that I've done these things. When things go well, it's easy to fall into a prideful independence, a sophisticated self-sufficiency. When our health is good, when the job is stable, when the relationships are peaceful, it must be because you have done something right. You orchestrated all things, and you put the puzzle piece together, and it's all because of what you've done. So why do you need to thank anybody else when you are the one who orchestrated your life all perfectly? You know, even as believers, certainly that's the world of unbelievers, but even as believers, I believe we're guilty at times of being touched by God and being blessed by God and us getting walking away from that blessing without a grateful heart. You remember in Luke chapter 17, Jesus walking through a town, and there were 10 lepers that were screaming out, oh, have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Perhaps they were familiar with Jesus' healing strategies. So he's coming in, oh, have mercy on us, and Jesus hears them and tells them, all right, pick yourself up and go to show yourself to the priest. On their way, all 10 of them got up, all of them began to walk, all 10 of them were healed as they were walking towards the priest. They all recognized it. And you know the story. One of them recognized it and says, oh, God is worthy of my gratitude. Let me go back to Jesus and say thank you. But what did the 9 do? We don't know other than just keep walking. Maybe they went to the priest. Maybe they went home. Maybe they went to the bar. We have no idea where they end up going. But we do know that only 10%, one of the 10, came back to say thank you. Now, how often have we been one of the 9? We've been blessed, but we just move on. Perhaps in a percentage ways, maybe we're about 10% effective of our thanksgiving. Oh, once a year we have a day of Thanksgiving. Or maybe after a major windfall of financial contribution or maybe a success at work or a promotion. Oh, we're thankful. But is that all you can be thankful for? Just a little 10% of your life? When how many of you are breathing today? How many of you said, thank you, God, that today I am not struggling to breathe? My friend Clay Naylor years ago, who had cystic fibrosis in both lungs, and it was a difficulty to breathe. You know, when you have a cold and you're, you know, and you're breathing at about a 95, maybe a 92% capacity at that point. When you're on a bad day, and Clay on a good day was about 15 to 20% lung capacity being able to breathe until God was gracious enough to provide a double lung transplant. Now that surgery took place 10 years ago, and he goes hiking, and he's married, and he's having an incredible life. But listen to me, we are blessed far beyond we can imagine. God is bigger and doing far more for us than we pause and say, thank you for what you're doing. Think about all the ways you're blessed, beyond just the food and the family and your faith. Do you have a mind that can think and reason, and strategize, and plan? Do you use your mind daily? Do you pause to think, thank you, Lord, for the mind that you've given me? Because you could certainly take that from me in my future. I've seen that in my own family members. Father, I'm thankful for the body that you've given me. And though the older I get, the more difficult it gets to move in some ways or to do what I used to do, but I'm thankful I have a body. I can still do many things. I'm thankful for the server at the restaurant. Rather than complaining about being slow or what, I'm not cooking it. You know, the best meal is the one I don't have to prepare for myself, whether it's at home or a restaurant. Am I thankful for that? Am I thankful for the stock clerk who comes into the grocery store and places items on the shelf accessible for me to come get and take, put it in my basket, and get out in a fairly quick manner? So much better than what my grandfather experienced when he was growing up. He didn't go to the grocery store. He went to the backyard on the farm and had to pull up. He had to plant and till and all and pull up those groceries. Well, I'm glad I don't have a grocery in my backyard. I don't even have to go to the grocery store anymore. I can get on Amazon or wherever and just order something and it shows up at my house. Anybody do that? And then we're complaining if it doesn't come within 2 days because you paid for Prime. There's much that we have available to us today that we don't pause and say thank you. Without gratitude, we show a side of arrogance and entitlement. Like we deserve all these things. We don't say thank you because, well, it's what we're owed. We often complain about our current situation, but have you ever paused to thank God you actually have a situation? For the man who loses his coat, is he thankful he still has a shirt? For the person who you know, has no shoes, are they thankful that they at least have some feet? How many of you have ever been in an auto accident and it was rather costly to get repaired, even with insurance involved? And you're just struggling with, oh man, this is going to cost, oh, I hate this, and you complain, and you're bitter about it. You're concerned your bank account's going to go from here to here. Are you thankful that you even have money? Are you thankful that you have a car? Because certainly you could sell that and just get rid of it and walk. Are you thankful that you have some things that even though they're challenges, they are still blessings in that? Are you thankful that you have a family? Yes, we're all thankful for our families. Do you realize families cost a lot of money? That's why some of you stopped at two kids or one kid. Nobody told me how expensive it was. I knew the expense of the birth, you know, but my goodness, they actually get more expensive the older they get. The toys get smaller, but with bigger price tags. I'm thankful I have a family that I can spend some money on and provide for. No matter how large the food budget gets, I'm thankful there is somebody in my house that's wanting to eat it and be with me. I'm thankful that I have a family I can protect when difficulties arise. And though I may lose sleep at night over some of the issues that happen in our family, I'm thankful I have somebody to care about and provide for and protect and pray for. There are many things we should just thank God that He has placed in our life rather than running off, assuming that we were entitled. Come back and just say, thank you, God. You have shown mercy on us. Henry Ward Beecher wrote these words, "Pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves." The reason why Paul says to us to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, is because God's will is for you to be grateful, to realize that everything you have has been a blessing from Him. What did you bring into this world? Nothing. What are you going to take out of it? Nothing but your faith, if you have that in Christ. So everything you have, according to James, says every good gift is from above, from the Father. So gratitude as a lifestyle eliminates the arrogance and pridefulness and entitlement that slips back in even to a Christian's life. Here's the second thing I want you to notice in the Scriptures, is that gratitude encourages action. Oftentimes, when it's speaking of being thankful, it's also marrying it to the action you do because of that. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 up on the screen. "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Though this may be a verbal thank you, because I have the ability to speak and to do, I think it's actually more so in my process of acting for the glory of God, I am thanking Him. He's given me abilities, so what am I going to do with those abilities? I'm going to use them as a thank you to the God who's given them to me. In my household, my wife cooks incredible meals. She learned to do that over the process of our entire married life. Now, early on, I was convinced all I had to do was eat those meals, not necessarily say thank you. But I've learned that you ought to say and do. But this is my philosophy. How do I thank my wife for the meal that she has provided? I consume it. I eat it. If I were to push it away, that would show ingratitude. Now, there are a few things she tries to make me eat I'm not so grateful for. They're all healthy, but green things are not my favorite. But I'm starting to learn some of that. Some of that. Blend it up in a shake and maybe I can drink it. I don't know. But what do we do? How do you appreciate that which God has given you? You use it. You engage. One of my favorite movies of the past is Chariots of Fire. Anybody seen that? It's a story about Eric Little, incredible racer, runner, who was in the Olympics and most famous known that on one of the major events that he was to be in was scheduled for a Sunday, and he chose not to run because that was the Lord's Day, and he would not engage in this secular activity on the Lord's Day when he was to worship. Well, he's going to lose the opportunity to win a gold medal, which he was certainly going to win. Didn't matter to him because the Lord is his master and he's given that to him. But in that, he moved over to another event he was not previously scheduled for on another day, and he actually won the gold through that. God had blessed this man with an ability to run. And one of the quotes in the movie I just love, he's talking to a sister because he's going to go off and be a missionary to China in the next few years. But he's talking to a sister, and she's trying to understand, why is it you're so drawn to run, and why are you engaged in all this? Why is this your passion and pursuit? And he says, "I feel His pleasure when I run. He has made me to run and run fast. That's what I do." When you've been given something of God, the greatest way to thank Him for it is to do what God finds pleasure in seeing you do. You're not gifted at all things. And it's not pleasurable to do a lot of things that you're not gifted at. But when God has called you and gifted you to do certain things, do it! In that, you are glorifying God in everything you do, giving thanks to Him for doing it. Gratitude encourages action. To show gratitude for God's grace, we share His grace with others. To show gratitude and appreciation for our health, we ought to visit somebody who's struggling with their own health. To show appreciation for our wealth and what God has provided for us, we ought to meet the needs of others. By showing appreciation for our joy, we go and encourage someone who may not be feeling joy at this very moment. We show appreciation for God's gifts that He's given us by using our gifts for His glory. We show appreciation for those who've invested in our spiritual growth by beginning to invest in the spiritual growth of other people. You know, a depressed individual was in a counseling session. I read the account that this counselor was sharing. And this depressed individual that was in counseling said these words. He says, I have no friends, no one likes me, no one helps me, no one supports me. I am isolated. After the session, the counselor gave this assignment to this individual, and he said, between now and the time we meet again, I want you to say thank you every time someone does something for you. If someone smiles in your direction, you say thank you to them. If someone opens the door for you, you say thank you. If someone bags your groceries or carries them to your vehicle, you say thank you. If someone lets you into the line in traffic as you're merging onto the road, even though they can't hear you, you say out loud in your car, thank you. The reluctant individual said, I won't have many opportunities to say thank you, but I'll try. Well, 2 weeks later, the individual came back into the office, had a big smile on his face, and he said, thank you to the counselor. He says, I can't stop saying it. I've said it over 1,000 times since we've talked last. He said, it all started when I left your office. When I left the building here, the doorman opened the door and let me out of the building, so I said, thank you. And the doorman smiled. He says, then I got a taxi, and I told the taxi driver, well, thank you. And the taxi driver said, thank you back. And he said, I've never been thanked for the service I provide people. Moment after moment, this individual shares, there was somebody actually helping him, doing something for him, something he hadn't noticed in the past, and he thanked him for it. A few days later, having brought many smiles to others by telling them thank you, I was walking past a homeless shelter food kitchen and decided to go in and volunteer serving their hot lunches. I was thankful that I was not in a position that I needed to have them serve me, but I was able to serve them, and many of them told me thank you. I feel great today, he tells his counselor, because of this, but I'm not sure why it worked. The counselor responded to this individual. The reason you found the results and that you feel the way you do today is because you were looking for someone or something to be thankful for. All these opportunities have been here before, but you didn't see them because you were always looking with negative lenses. But now with new eyes, you can see, you can be thankful, and now you can be the part of the process of serving others where they can grow in their own gratitude. There's some wisdom in that. Albert Einstein said this. He said, 100 times a day, I remind myself that my inner and my outer life depend on the labors of other people, living or dead, and that I must exert myself in order to give in the measure that I have received and am still receiving. Consider all the people that have helped your life this week, both near and far. We're sitting in a room that has some comfort to it. There's a heater going on in here. How many of you worked on the heater this week to make sure that that was okay for you? No? How many of you got on the computer that controls the temperature in here and set that? I know some of you would like access to that. So would I sometimes. But I'm thankful that's taken care of. I didn't have to think about it. It's just taken care of. How many of you thought about your vehicle today and all the components and that it's put together, that it's got you here, and you were thankful for every part that it was working when you got here? Or did you take that for granted? It took a lot of people to put these things together so that you could benefit. They were using their gifts and skills and abilities, and just to pause and say thank you. Thank you for all the people that God has placed in your life. As I was talking to an individual this morning, both Christian and non-Christian people are put in our lives that we ought to be thankful for, because along the way, God has placed them in your path to help you. And you are also in the path of others to help them. Gratitude encourages action. Here's the third. Gratitude expands our adoration, our worship. The cornerstone of worship is expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. That's where it all begins. Without faith in Christ, without salvation eternal from Him, we would have very little to be thankful for, because we're not realizing what has been provided on our behalf. But here, when we're in Christ, when we have received His salvation, when we've been granted eternity, when we can see Him face to face, when we've been changed by the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. This is a profound gift that should be met with equally profound praise. One theologian stated this: our thanks should be as fervent for the mercies we have received as our petitions for mercies sought. Oh, we're eager to ask God for things, but are we just as eager to pause and say thank you? Connie Gordon told me this morning, their ladies group, I think it's the Monday group and Wednesday group, they've been praying in their sessions all year, and they've been collecting the answered prayers. And they're going to spend time in the next few weeks looking over the answered prayers and just giving thanks and praise to God. You know, we always have a long prayer list. Perhaps at home, you collect a list of people you're praying for. Do you have a long thanks list that prompts praise and adoration? I want you to consider that thanks and worship are beautifully linked throughout of all of Scripture. I want you to listen to just a few of the verses. I could have picked out over 100 of these. But in Psalm chapter 7, verse 17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. I will be thankful, and I will worship and give praise. In Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, worship, and with my song I give thanks to the Lord. Worship, thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, verse 4, a rather familiar verse to many of you, it begins, enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. A thankful heart is a worshiping heart. The more you recognize what God has done for you, the greater that your thanksgiving exudes, the more your praise and worship is accelerated in magnifying His name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is the focal verse of the day, but if you were to look at just the two verses prior to that, it's all linked together. It says, rejoice always. Singing joy to God. Rejoice for what God has done. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you. To rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. These things are always linked together. Do we have a thankful heart? This morning in the early service, we sang the old hymn, number 644, Count Your Blessings. How many of you remember that song? Good song. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Oh, friends, we ought to do this more and more. Count your many blessings. Why do we count our blessings? Because they're countless. When you begin to count your blessings, you could fill up volumes of books larger than this room could hold. You don't realize how much you've been blessed. And when you realize how great and limitless God's blessings have been, your worship will skyrocket, lifting His name, because He has been the provider for every good gift. As we acknowledge God's great work and are humbled at the enormity of His grace, our gratitude expands to pure adoration and worship. The worship grows beyond a time and place. It becomes who we are. It becomes our character. It becomes our lifestyle. That Thanksgiving is not about a day. Worship is not about a time. It is about who we are and who He is to us. We celebrate often. We appreciate consistently. We're joyful constantly. We love Christ continually. Why? Because of all that He's done. And when a believer is living out this life of praise and thanksgiving, it affects the people around, thinking there's something odd about them. Odd being, it's not like this world projects. And what are people do? They're drawn to someone who has been impacted by a God who loves them, a God who has provided for them, celebrating and appreciating and joyful, and invites others to desire the same Christ who will provide the same attitude of gratitude for them. You know, when William Bradford, governor of Plymouth and Massachusetts, and had come with the Pilgrims, and they lost so many who got on the boat to come over for religious freedom, and those Pilgrims lost many of them to on the sea and the sickness. But as they established the new world for themselves and collaborating with the local natives there, and they sat down to have a feast, a time of thanksgiving. William Bradford wrote in the book of Plymouth Plantation, read many of this to my own kids several years ago. Many quotes I could have extracted, but this one in particular I thought would be helpful for us today. To realize when we have an attitude of gratitude, when we have a worship coming out of us because of our thanksgiving, when we have action coming out of us and all the arrogance has been depleted, when we really understand our position in Christ and we say thanks, we don't fully realize how much that can echo through the centuries and impact many. William Bradford wrote these words as they only had a small gathering of maybe 120. Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by His hand. And He made all things of nothing. And giving and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled will show the way to many. William Bradford gathered with those 120 plus pilgrims on that cold fall day as they were thankful that God had sustained them to come to this new land, that their whole purpose was to worship and give thanks to God. And as they gathered, they considered that everything has been by God's hand. And every blessing has been a reward or a gift from Him, undeserved, but given because of His own righteousness and grace. And like a small candle, because we have the heart of thanksgiving, it will illuminate to many. 120 people gathered for that Thanksgiving. meal? How many millions paused on Thursday just to say thank you? Your thankful heart can impact thousands towards the glory of God. Never underestimate or run ahead of what God has done. Be the one who is willing to come back and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have provided. Thank you for intersecting my life from the eternal destruction that I was heading to, bringing me into your grace and providing a new creation in me, and allow me to be a part of your ultimate plan of impacting many in our world. Thanksgiving is not fundamentally a once-a-year holiday. It is a lifestyle of God's people coming together to worship the one who saved us. We celebrate Thanksgiving every time we gather to pray, to sing, to hear God's word, and encourage one another, whether in small groups or a large gathering. This is a Thanksgiving service. Let's go to the Lord and just express our thankfulness for Him. Father, thank you today as we've gathered for our worship service. It is linked towards hearts that are thankful. And Father, I pray that you would so impress upon us all that you have done and are doing and will do. And the way our minds will be illuminated is when your Spirit of God just opens our heart and mind to who you are. Not necessarily just your actions, but who you are, your character, your attributes. We would be drawn to worship and be thankful that we have the opportunity and the enabling to see it. Father, I pray that every time we gather, whether small groups, large groups, or with just brothers and sisters at a coffee shop, it would be a time, a worship service of thanksgiving. And may our world see the hearts of the thankful ones in Christ, and may they be drawn to a relationship, a joyful, enthusiastic, life-transforming relationship with you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.